Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on August 23rd, 2021, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. We got a nice show with a company called Wealthy, W-E-L-F-I-E, Wealthy. And it's all about student health care tracking, COVID tracking, et cetera, et cetera. It's a good new company. I wanted to get you familiar with it. So we have their chief medical officer, if I may, CEO of Wealthy, Dr. Steve Moyo, with us. Okay, one of the founders, Susan McLennan, and also their chief chief education officer, Nicole Trickett. They'll all be joining me in just a few minutes. Just let me get a little bit of homework done. As you know, we're the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and we're very concerned about healthcare and equity in schools, which is why I wanted to do this show. It's very important. ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org, ACE-ED.org is where we are located on the web. That's where this show will be archived, as well as all our other podcasts. If you go over there, you'll see that. And, of course, our magazine, Equity and Access Pre-K-12, which is an online journal. Absolutely excellent. You'll enjoy it if you take the time to go over there. Please join with us. The consortium is yours. The voice in it is yours. You're an educator in Pre-K-12 over at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me introduce my guests, Steve and Nicole and Susan. And I started with Susan here, who I talked to on the phone a few weeks ago as we set up the show. Susan, we're here today. The hurricane turned out to be nothing. So here I am. Welcome to today's show, Susan McLennan.
Woo-hoo. I'm so glad for you. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, me too.
That's great.
Yeah, I had sat through five hurricanes when we lived in Florida. Okay, they're no fun. So I'm very glad that it was nothing more than a little bit of a drizzle here in Maine. So welcome to the show, Susan. Nicole, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having us. I'm also in outside of Boston, and I'm glad we missed it as well, the hurricane.
Yeah. I'm up in Maine, okay, and just in southern Maine, and we missed it too. I actually brought the long furniture in thinking it would blow around if I didn't. Of course, nothing happened. Where are you outside of Boston? Where are you?
In Sudbury.
Sure.
My husband's family lives out here and visiting the in-laws.
Good. Good. And then welcome. Are you from New England? Are you a New England person?
My husband is. I'm not. But my husband is. Big Patriots fan, all of that. I'm actually from Oregon. But I make many visits out here and did school out on the East Coast. So I'm familiar.
Good. Welcome to summer in New England. And our your Portland is named for our Portland, by the way. Just so you know that.
That's awesome. Two great cities.
The reason that happened, this is true. The two guys who founded Portland, one was from Maine, the other one was from Boston, and they flipped a coin whether it's going to be New Boston or Portland out there on the West Coast, and Portland won. Welcome to Portland.
I didn't know that. Thanks for sharing.
There you go. It's a true story. Not a makeup. Steve, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm fine. Who's crying in the background there?
We have the door closed, so I'm sorry you hear him. Little one-year-old, Busa.
What's your name or his name?
His name is Busa, V-U-S-A.
Well, he can cry all he wants. Kids are welcome on the show.
The baby-friendly show,
I appreciate
Steve.
That.
Well, babies are welcome. Don't worry a thing about it, Dr. Steve Moyo. And Steve's a cardiologist. He was trained at good friends of ours, our education school at Johns Hopkins. Okay, and Steve, where are you now? Are you in Michigan now? Where are you?
No, I actually did medical school out of Michigan, but I am located out in sunny San Diego, so not too worrying about the hurricanes, unfortunately, or fortunately over here.
Yeah, actually, hurricanes are easier than what California is going through right now. Okay, mm-hmm. Boy, I wish you guys well out there. It's just absolutely wild. And Steve, welcome to the show. Boy, he's yelling out there. That's good. Give that kid food. Okay, I love that. All right, where's the pacifier? It's a ride. Please don't worry about it at all. Susan, I'm going to go back to you, okay? Wealthy, wealthy.com, like it sounds, W-E-L-F-I-E, wealthy.com. Just give us a definition. Tell everybody who's listening, they're all educators, okay, what it is and talk about it. And you can start this, but tell everybody what it is and why you started, et cetera. I'll start with Susan here.
Sure. Well, wellness stands for, or Wealthy stands for a wellness selfie. And essentially what that means, it's up, yeah, it's easy to remember, right?
Not
wellness
bad.
Selfie.
I like it. Yeah, that's good.
So really what it is it's a picture of health that puts the students at the center. And it's a great listening tool, and it offers really powerful insights and data to teachers, to district chiefs, to anybody who needs to know the state of their school's health. And it also offers quicker interventions and better outcomes. So it can offer an insight into a student's health, the health of a school, health of schools in a regional area, or even of the country itself. And it really offers critical insights. But it also offers insights to the student themselves, because we really want to empower students to take control of their health and to even be able to disrupt their families. Yeah.
Nice. That is excellent. And if I read it correctly, if I may, it also gives a school or school district, I assume a school district, okay, which is even better, a nice perspective, if I may, compared to the area in which they are located in other schools. Am I correct on that? A comparative perspective? Am I correct?
It absolutely can, yeah. And I'll let Steve speak to that, actually. And Steve is the founder. I joined Steve as a co-founder, but it was Steve's vision to get this company up and going.
Well, Steve, congratulations on that. It's a good idea. What gave you this idea? Because I know that Jose isn't in school yet. He's crying
absolutely.
Because he has to go to school soon.
Summer's
over.
Kicking me out of the house.
Yeah, summer's over. But what got you starting this, almighty cardiologist? And you are a cardiologist. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so just to let you know, I'm an internal medicine doc who's got a real focus and love and passion for cardiology. You asked why we started Wealthy. It actually started from dealing with patients while I was on the cardiology unit at Johns Hopkins, patients who were coming in with either really bad diabetes. And I actually had this one patient who came into our emergency department with this really bad diabetic foot infection, this African-American male. And it was tough because to know him and talk to him, it just surfaced really quickly that he had known about this for 10 years, hadn't had the chance to take care of it, and really just didn't have this knowledge about his health and what it meant to be a diabetic. And the fact of the matter is I've seen this in my own family, in my own community as a black immigrant, to first Canada and then the United States. So for me, the light bulb went off that if we could just give people a better picture of their health, that we could start to really have an informed conversation that could lead them down a better journey towards wellness. And the earlier we start with that, if we can start that with kids, start that with families that are in the K-12 space, the better.
Hear.
So that's what it's about. It's about giving people this better picture of health.
I got to stop you. You took this on an interesting angle, which I wasn't going to explore as much as I thought I was, but this is wonderful. Okay, you being a person of color, okay, and you saw an African-American gentleman come into the hospital with a serious infection that perhaps could have been controlled had people advising him had better access to information on healthcare, okay, which is wonderful. And it brings up the whole idea which we focus on here is equity, okay, and the challenge of getting everybody on an equitable footing, not only in terms of education, but believe me, if you're not healthy, you're not going to get a good education. Okay, and you can see what the schools are going through right now this year, what they went through the last 18 months with so many kids of color, their families ruined, but 600,000 people got killed. A lot of them were people of color. And you bring this up, and it's so darn important, okay, that we talk about this. And so let me ask, as you started this, and I know you didn't particularly have, quote, the equity angle in mind, but you certainly had an angle in mind that talked to people who were perhaps underserved, okay? And I'm curious just where that was. And I think that's fascinating, Steve. I hope I expressed that as well as I wanted to. I think it's great.
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and it's a great point. Well, equity has always been at the core of Wealthy because from day one, it's been built to bring health technology to people who usually don't have health technology built for them. So in building and designing Wealthy from a very early standpoint, we're working with the African Methodist Episcopal Church in L.A. We're working with the black community here in San Diego. So, you know, people of color, women, children have been involved in the actual design of Wealthy and getting feedback. And I think that's just important as we try to roll out an equitable tool to help the community.
And I love this. So basically we're talking about something that not only helps the school district, okay, but really helps the students and teachers, if I may, as well. This is a win-win for both sides of that equation, right?
Absolutely.
That's our goal.
Yeah, for all sides. I mean, I can speak. I'm a former educator, teacher, special teacher.
This is Nicole.
But I'm coming from that educational side as a teacher and as a site leader. And I joined Wealthy because, you know, it's bridging the gap between health and education. I think two deeply interconnected systems that we know, but that are often often disconnected, sadly. We as professionals, both in education and in health, understand those links and know, like you said, better health leads to better educational outcomes, better professional outcomes, better life outcomes. We also recognize that there's a gap for our black and brown students and their families. And, like, Wealthy wants to disrupt that and really empower and, like, where else to start but with the student and their families and empowering them to take ownership of their own health. So that's so powerful, and that's only going to help – it's going to benefit that student, but it will benefit their families, the larger school communities that could be the staff that they work with are even larger. So that is totally at the core of what Wealthy is about.
I think it's just great. And there's another point here that's, to me, pretty obvious. I think I'm probably stating the obvious. Again, a lot of these communities, I'll say for the sake of this, communities of color, underrepresented groups, lower socioeconomic, they don't have access to health care information. They just don't.
Right.
Okay, for whatever reason, we're not going to get into that. Okay, but if you can, the kids do go to school, and if you can get the schools totally involved in this and get them the right information, okay, to give to the kids, and I'm not talking about a brochure on how to brush your teeth, okay? This is really, really something good, and in this age of technology, it's very, very important. So we've got that picture, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask Nicole on this one. Nicole, all right, this is a platform. Wealthy.com, and everybody can go over there as a platform. What? Mm-hmm. And by the way, you have a lot of information on your site, how it works for COVID-19. Okay, but it works for everything, quite obviously. It's just another of the diseases out there. Okay, but tell everybody what exactly it's tracking, what it kind of looks like. Remember, we're on radio. Okay, so do that from the teacher's point of view and what it does. Nicole Trickett, everybody, from the wrong Portland.
I think one of the easiest ways, I think Susan explained it as a snapshot, which is one kind of visual we're trying to show, but another way to think of it that I think will appeal to the teachers
selfie.
Or the educators is like as almost like a daily check-in. So we all know that like the check-in, check-out system is kind of a evidence-based, teacher-trusted tool that really benefits students. Often check-in, check-out is not scaled to every student. So it's only being used with certain students, the ones that are, you know, needing higher levels of support. And it often gets bumped. I was a principal, you know, the people responsible for checking in with a student maybe got bumped because they were running to an emergency in the school. We were missing a security guard and they had to run to the yard to help. Or a new student was coming to school and a counselor had to enroll them and they couldn't check in with the student, their student that morning. So Wealthy kind of is an automated and personalized check-in for a student, and it can connect that student immediately to services and resources they need, but also it's giving us data or insights for the educators, both teachers and the leaders, that maybe will drive immediate interventions or even larger kind of school-wide health and wellness initiatives or decisions. I can like break it down even more, like imagine
Go
a
ahead.
Story, right? Yeah, so imagine I'm taking a Wealthy. So Nicole is going to take a Wealthy at the beginning of her day. I'm going to respond. We definitely are looking at kind of different social determinants of health, so food, transportation, how is student feeling? Are they prepared for the day? But I'm going to respond, I didn't eat breakfast this morning, or I don't quite feel prepared to start my day. So I'm immediately, from responding to that, on my Wealthy app, I'm immediately reminded about maybe some healthy food options in my area and also maybe some tips around some self-management to get me started. That teacher, my first period teacher, or teacher for the day, also sees my responses, and she then knows to I should check in with Nicole at the beginning of the class to see if she needs a snack from the cafeteria or she might need other supports to tackle her day. My principal or a site leader is also monitoring responses, and they might notice that Nicole has been saying she doesn't feel prepared for the day, but a lot of students across the school are responding that they don't feel prepared when they come to school at the beginning of their day. So she maybe decides, hey, we can be flexible with timing. Let's add 5 minutes in the morning to first period where students really are only focusing in on self-reflection and meditation. Let's help them kind of get settled for their school day. So it's kind of a school-wide initiative that she decides to do based on the data. It could go larger. A district could be using Wealthy and see, you know, aggregate data from across their district and see that a ton of students are not eating breakfast, which we know is a common challenge, especially for, like, students and families of color. So they could see that we need to work with maybe some local food industry professionals and launch a family healthy breakfast campaign. And so really think of what other supports and resources we can bring in to the district to support all students and families. And so that kind of – hopefully that paints a little more of a picture in
that
some terminology that educators are used to and know. But that's another way to look at Wealthy and how it can support students and the school community.
I'm glad you said all that because on the website, and this is key, and it's very, very important, it talks a lot. This is wealthy.com, which is a nice website, everybody. But it talks about their COVID-19, in particular, management solutions. And that's why I want to keep saying it covers everything. But COVID-19 is top of mind these days, okay, in the damn Delta variant. So I just wanted to clear up that it goes way beyond COVID-19, again, which is just one miserable, stinking disease that we have to deal with, okay? Okay, the kids still do get the flu and everything else. Those diseases have not left. They haven't been pushed out of the way, okay? And I want to just say one thing. The Maine State Legislature has approved, we're only the second state in the country to do this after California, Steve. Okay, Maine guarantees every student breakfast and lunch every day. Okay, starting in 2022.
I saw that recently. It's fantastic.
Yes, yeah, it's good. Amazing for my goofy state. Yes, but we did it. Okay? So what can I tell you? All right, it's good stuff. All right, Susan, let me swing back to you, Susan McClendon.
Yeah.
You have the title Chief Marketing Officer. Okay, as we're talking, who do you want to know about this? And I'm asking it in terms of teachers are good, but they don't have buying power. Okay, it's
right.
Principals, it's superintendents and their cabinet, et cetera, all right? And it's also, I might add, what are called, I don't know if you guys know this, you know ESAs, Educational Service Agencies?
Yep.
Do you, Susan?
Yeah. Steve knows.
I'm familiar.
Okay, good. Those are key to something like this. They provide this kind of service to multiple districts. Okay, and it's key, okay, and if you want, I will you go to AESA.us, which is their organization. That'll give you a hell of a lot of information on this.
Right.
So, Susan, back to you. Who are you guys talking to get this into schools, which, by the way, I think is just great? And, again, doctor approved by Dr. Steve Boyle.
Doctor, but not only doctor
right.
approved, doctor and educator created, which
Dr.
is Bennett,
and he not only plays a doctor on Education Talk Radio, he is one. Okay, so there you go.
So
there
so
you go.
True.
All right.
Well,
anyway,
you know, we've Susan. Partnered with some really interesting people. We've partnered with Power School, and in
yep.
fact, the Wealthy integrates with Power School, and we've also partnered with Chiefs for Change. That's an organization representing district chiefs and so we are doing more and more outreach to district chiefs, and now of course we're finding that people are kind of frantically reaching out to us because our COVID Wealthy fulfilling all the compliance issues that schools and districts are finding themselves in. So now, of course, a number of states, California being one, they have to do vaccine tracking, they have to do testing tracking, and teachers, it's all falling to teachers and to staff, and it's impossible. It's causing them so much stress and so much worry. The fear is they're going to make a mistake, they're going to make a mistake that's going to kill people, right? That's literally something we've heard. They're not sleeping, they're not eating. It's taking so many hours of teacher and staff hours. They're doing it on their own time. And that's why this year you have a quarter of teachers saying they're thinking about leaving the profession. They're afraid for their lives. And
that's
they have absolutely no, they don't have any control over their school anymore because of this virus, and they're feeling alone and scared. So I have to
take that one step further, which is exactly what you're saying. They don't have control. I have to say this right, over the information. They need information about the health of their students, okay?
Yes.
Not to persecute a student, but to make sure, A, that child is safe, and to make sure all the other children around that child are safe, okay?
Absolutely.
It's not an intrusion of privacy at all. I don't mean to – it's just not, okay? This is the key thing, okay?
It's absolutely key.
Yeah, it's just really mm-hmm. – Is it in – I know you're a fairly new company. You're working with PowerSchool. Have you heard from – and Susan, I'll stick with you. Have you heard from, or maybe Steve, whoever wants to answer, have you heard from educators, be they superintendents, principals, or teachers, who have been using it, or maybe school nurses, school health officials? What are you hearing back from districts that are using it? And I'll oppose that to anyone, Nicole, Steve, or Susan. Who wants to do it?
Yeah, no, I'm happy to answer that because
that would be Steve, everybody. That would be Dr. Boyo.
Yeah, you know, the first thing that we're hearing is that this is saving us hours, right? We've now put teachers and many school staff in two different roles, right, which is now dealing with public health almost from an operations standpoint and logistics of it, and then actually being this public health officer or voice piece in terms of communications. And that means that teachers and educators are staying up late doing a job that they're not trained to do. And they're not passionate about doing, right?
Yep.
And so saving them hours is about allowing them to be what they do and who they are. It's about allowing them to be educators and actually being with these kids in the classroom, teaching them as opposed to managing COVID-19. And then I think the other big thing that has taken me back from a technology standpoint is people just love the ease of use. They find it easy, very intuitive to use our platform, which is not a standard in health ed tech. So we're happy to bring that to the table as well.
Right.
And it makes them feel safer too, because the students and families input their information before they even get to school, so it doesn't come to campus. That's our goal, is to try and keep it off campus, and then it makes contact using.
And it makes
contact tracing super easy, too, especially when we are integrated with PowerSchool. Very easy to cross-reference who's been where, who's been in contact. And then automated messaging, we can literally, a teacher can push a button and out goes those messages. So they don't have to sit down and write individual messages to each person, to each family. It just all happens automatically. And we can integrate right with, we have labs, we do testing as well, but for the most part, we can integrate with other people's labs. So the results can come right into the app, and then the appropriate information can be delivered to the person who's tested positive. It can be delivered, you know, wherever it has to go. So, and we're culturally competent. That's the other thing in our testing in all of this. We understand, you know, we don't, for lack of a better word, white male deep is not our default, right? We really try and think this through from the perspective of other cultures and women and all of that. So,
well, that's a very good point, okay? Because some cultures, and this is key, and it goes beyond black and white. It goes into various countries, are very reluctant, okay, to share to A, understand, or B, share any kind of health information. Okay, it just isn't part of their culture. Okay, and we're talking about a zillion cultures, certainly here in the United States and Canada. Okay, you know, that come in here and mix and mingle in public schools. And people are scared to give too much information out. A classic example of that would be undocumented immigrants as an example. Okay, they're scared. So this is all very important. And I assume, Steve, I wanted to ask you, A, and I mentioned this word before, but I want you to talk about this, the privacy angle. Okay, which is key these days, you know, internet security and all that sort of thing. This is important information that's out there. And B, you're a doctor, okay? And cardiology being your most important thing that you like to do. But are you a techno guy too? Did you create the platform? So two things: privacy and who magically did this, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know you know how to work an electrocardiogram, but that doesn't mean you can do this stuff. So,
this is very true. This is very true. Privacy and the way that wealth is built are techno guys go hand in hand. As a physician, as a doctor, the importance about privacy in and around the health record is imperative. It's what I deal with every day as I, you know, pull up a patient's chart, make sure I look over my shoulder, make sure there's nobody standing behind me.
Exactly.
What is on the screen. So that is, it's second nature to me. And so it became second nature as I built this. And I actually want to talk about specifically privacy for communities of color, because I think it is even more important to think about how their data, their physical cells have been, I'll use the word exploited, you know, in the past by healthcare. And I think it's important that, exactly, you mentioned Henrietta Lacks.
Yeah.
I think it's important that any company really put privacy at the forefront, and that's what we're doing. So in a very practical way, in Wealthy, if you connect your information, you actually have to opt in to connect your health data to a community. So if your school wants to add you to Wealthy, you still have to give them permission to say, yes, you can see my data. And then even when you do that, you get an easy, you can literally just click on a button and you can see everybody who has access to your data, right? So it's about transparency and you knowing and having control to turn off that data access at any point in time. And so bringing that sort of design aspect is kind of the nice thing I think I've been able to do, because that comes from being a physician and knowing the transparency that should be there and around data. The actual building of it has not been done by me. I'm not a coder. But we have a fantastic team that's based out here in San Diego.
I'm getting a lot of laughs on that. You must be as good as I am on this. But, yeah.
Well, we're laughing because there's very little that Steve can't do.
Good enough. Well said.
It's true, and design-wise, we have other coders, but Steve is a huge driver of a lot of this stuff. So,
exactly. But how long did it take you to develop this to where it is today, Steve?
You know, so we've been building Wealthy for since 2018, and we've really been building it as a community platform for schools, and it's been interesting because we obviously, we weren't building a COVID solution prior to the pandemic. We didn't have any insider knowledge.
Yeah, of course.
And if we had, we would have shared it from the mountaintop. So that's, you know, the COVID piece of this has been since April of last year. So it's been a rapid pivot and sort of ramp up. But we've been working hand in hand with parents, teachers, administration the entire time. So it's really been a tool developed by educators for K-12. And so we're really happy and proud about being able to help districts literally across the country in safe reopening. And as you alluded to before, we are focusing on more than COVID-19, so physical health, mental health as well are areas that we are working with schools.
Yeah, and you know, that whole thing you mentioned, mental health, that bundles under social-emotional type stuff, social-emotional learning and all that. That's become a key factor, as everyone who's listening knows, and you guys know it too, okay? And to be able to have one more arrow in the quiver is a good idea, okay? And this is a big one, okay? This is really, really... This is really a good product. I really like this, and I like the way you partnered with schools and all that. What were you going to say, Susan or Nicole?
Oh, this is Nicole. This is Nicole. And on top of, you know, really thinking of students' mental health, I mean, I want to take it a step farther and thinking of the mental health of staff.
Thank you.
Because as Susan mentioned, you know, a quarter of the teaching profession is thinking about leaving, and the people that have left, they have noted higher levels, and those still there, higher levels of depression, anxiety since
stress,
the pandemic hit. It is stress, and stress. And so if we are, you know, educators are charged with supporting students in the classroom develop their social-emotional health and well-being, we need to make sure those people are also equipped with the tools to support themselves. So one of the things we're looking at building next is like a wealthy first staff. Because how important would it be for administrators, people supporting teachers to know how they're doing, and then also just for the teachers themselves to know where they can go for help or support. So how we can really build that in is another layer that we are looking to build out in the future.
This is big and important stuff. You guys are doing, I got to tell you, you guys are winding down here. You guys are doing wonderful stuff with this. This is really, really a good product. I want to stay in touch with you all. Okay, because I know I'm serious.
Please do.
Because we have our consortium for equity. Okay, and I see this, okay, very much. Okay, as I said earlier, as an equity situation. Okay,
so
and it, you know, and beyond the obvious way it helps everybody. Okay, it's just really, really important to get this out there and make sure people understand it helps people in this crazy day and age we live in, okay? You'll love this, Steve. I don't know whether you saw the New York Times today. This is the health care we're facing, okay? In Mississippi, okay, from what I read in the New York Times today, Fox News promoted some kind of drug for animals called ivermectin, okay, that reduces worms in livestock, okay, as a possible cure. You're not going to believe this. As a possible way to avoid COVID. This is a pill for livestock, okay? And a lot of people in Mississippi, okay, unfortunately, and I do a lot of work with Mississippi, they are good educators down there, okay, are taking this pill, thinking that's because it was on the news. And this is the kind of thing we're up against right now, okay, and this will go right down into the school districts. Okay, we can't have this out there. We have to manage this somehow. Okay, taking pills for livestock. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
unless your teacher is Mr. Ed, it's not the right thing to do. Okay,
I 100% agree. And I think the interesting thing is it goes back to something you mentioned, and this is the equity issue that the wealthy is really trying to fight. It's education, right? I, as a doctor, I hear ivermectin. I think parasites, right? We're trying to fight a virus, not a parasite. And to me, that's basic, but it's important to educate people that, you know, not every pill you take is built for the infection that you're trying to treat. It's important to know the difference between a virus, a bacteria, and a parasite. And we want to be able to educate kids about that, so when they hear information like this, they can say, that doesn't match up.
I hope so.
That is actually one of our things is you know, fighting misinformation too.
Well,
really getting kids to understand what's true and what's not true.
I mean,
giving them educational health.
It's just unbelievable. Be like your horse and say nay to ivermectin. Get it, nay. Right.
And this is Nicole again. It's hopefully taking some of that pressure off school sites and making those communications, because they've been tasked with trying to speak to things that they, you know, themselves maybe don't feel equipped to speak about.
Well, they're not.
So we've
they're
got
not
a lot
equipped.
Of clients.
That's why this is important.
Yep.
They're not equipped.
A lot of clients reaching out to us about community communications related to health and to COVID. And so they want that professional voice to speak to their communities. They want access to a doctor, to an expert. And our team, beyond just, you know, Steve, with our chief medical officer, we have psychologists, social workers at our, you know, right on call for us. We can help with that. And they want, you know, us to engage with their communities around some, there's sometimes really sensitive issues like vaccine hesitancy. And so how can we help them build
exactly.
out campaigns for their communities and try to kind of shift some of, well, this misinformation really, but shift the trajectory because we know it's going to be what's best for the students and families and ultimately all of us during this time.
It's an unreal time. Unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
it's a real time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we've just got to get this together. You guys are really helping. We're going to do more, okay? And maybe next time we'll have some of your school districts come on with you and
great.
talk about this because I would really like that. So, Susan, I thank you for getting in touch with me and my good buddy Mike Campbell. I'm glad we did this show. Right?
Yeah, so are we. We're really glad. Thank you so much for having us
you're
on.
More than
it was
welcome.
Great fun.
You're more than welcome.
Thank
and you're welcome. And Steve, have fun where it's always room temperature down in San Diego. Always room temperature.
I got my
come
t-shirts
to Maine
ready.
In the winter. Feel the difference. Come to Maine in the winter. Okay.
If it makes you feel better, I grew up in Canada, so I've
where'd you grow up?
I put
where,
my years in
town?
For the winter.
Which town?
I grew up mainly in Burlington, Ontario, so outside Toronto,
oh,
but then spent some
sure.
time up in Timmins, Ontario, very far north, so.
Very
you
cool.
Go.
I'm familiar
you
know, with the White Walkers.
And now you know. And now you know. Yeah, the White Walkers. That's great.
Yeah.
And now you know, okay, why? Now you know why he lives in San Diego, everybody. Nicole, enjoy Massachusetts, and I will, and whatever, but we'll all talk again soon, okay?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank
all.
You.
Thank you so
much.
Oh, thank
Bye.
You.
Thanks,
yeah, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, that great group. I love that show. That was wonderful. Dr. Steve Moyo, who founded the company, Nicole, their chief education officer, Susan McLennan, their chief marketing officer and the co-founder, wealthy.com. Check it out. We'll do more, and we'll archive over at ace-ed.org. It's always about equity, ain't it? All right? We'll talk again soon. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Check out what we do at ace-ed.org, and thanks so much. Be safe.